in remembrance. First Epistle to Corinthians, chapter 11, and verse 24. In remembrance of me. It is an astonishing thing that we who have been redeemed need a reminder of our Lord's death upon the cross. Yet it is so. If we search our hearts and examine our ways, we shall find it easy to forget. Our Lord, who knows well the weakness and treachery of our human hearts, has made provision for us to be constantly reminded. Thus he has established the memorial feast with this intent. This do in remembrance of me. The Lord's things are sublime in their simplicity. This feast is so. Simple bread and simple wine, sweet memorials of our Lord. Write the hymn writer. Faith alone can interpret these elements, and in them catch the image of our beloved Lord. Faith has learned the sound principle. The natural things reflect the beauties and glories and even the suffering of the Lord Jesus. It is seen in the elements upon the table, the testimony of the true bread and true wine, and how he became food and drink for our souls. It is most inspiring to read church history and witness the many strange places where the saints have set up a table of sorts and used these simple memorials to remember their Lord. As for instance, in the catacombs of Rome, in the Scottish moorland, in concentration camps, in exiled lonely prisons, on battlefields, yea, in every kind of place, his saints have remembered him. Now, first of all, this is a commanded remembrance. There is the Lord's own authority for observing this feast. It is no sentimental arrangement by some specially devoted believers. In these words of our text, which had been communicated to the Apostle Paul, the permanence of this service was established. It was instituted by the Lord himself in Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 records the first occasion of believers' obedience to his command. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we see that it became the general practice of the church to observe this on the first day of the week. The words "this do" and "as oft as" contain the idea of repetition, that the feast is to be observed again and again. It is a command, as it were, written by our Lord's own pen. It is the decree of his own mouth, the fruit of his own omniscient mind, the perfection of his thoughts. All he commands is surely designated by his wisdom and laid down by his grace. I have received of the Lord, said the Apostle Paul, which means a clear communication from the Lord. The observance, therefore, has never to be one of mere impulse or of natural inclination, but observed because the Lord has ordained that we should keep it. Secondly, it is a visible remembrance. The form of the remembrance matches our weakness. We need to see something to aid our faith. We must handle things. It almost seems that pure faith is so feeble in most men that we need help through the physical senses. The Lord has provided for this and given us these elements which can be seen and handled. The history of God's dealings with man, especially in communicating profound truth, is full of visible and tangible objects for the bodily senses to contemplate. The rainbow, the Passover meal, the bulls at the Feast of Tabernacles, the rod of Aaron, the pot of manna, the stones of witness from the River Jordan, and hundreds more. Visible and tangible objects for the bodily senses to contemplate. The bread and the wine are but emblems, commemorative emblems. This is my body. Not that the bread is his actual body, but that it represents his body. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Not that the cup is the testament, but that the wine in it is a token of the covenant. It is metaphorical language, which all of us use every day. Is not our Lord's purport clear as day? We are not to read mystical things into these simple emblems, and either make them or change them into something other than they are. They picture Christ. They are models of his saving work. They are given us with one design, to set forth Christ and to proclaim his redeeming love. Then again, it is, thirdly, a strengthening remembrance. This remembrance feast is a means of grace. While the elements on the table are but emblems, the feast is not a bare commemoration. We rise above the elements. We gaze at our Lord himself, and it is upon him that our souls feed. The faith of the believer must look beyond the elements. All that our Lord is in himself is the believer's grand portion. Now that we are in him, his wisdom is ours to guide. His power is ours to uphold. His faithfulness and truth are our shield and buckler. His spirit is given us to teach, solace, and bless us. His righteousness is ours to make us walk uprightly. His heaven is ours to be our home throughout eternity. It is meditation upon such blessed realities which is the strengthening portion of this feast. Fourthly, it's a personal remembrance. This do ye. Our remembrance of the Lord is more than a mere remembrance of the historical events of his dying. It is the remembrance that it was for each of us personally, even me. He did this. He does not ask that we remember the date or even the place of his sacrifice, but that we remember him. Our eyes must focus, not upon the tree, on bits of wood supposedly from his cross, or bits of a napkin once wound round his head, or the shroud that he wore. But our eyes have to focus upon the Lord himself. In the same way, we are not to remember the Lord's Supper as a doctrine only, or a precept, or an event, but we are to remember the Lord himself. Our thought must not stray from him. We are not to magnify a man who distributes the elements. We are not to magnify the ordinance. We are not to make superstition out of this feast. We are to remember only the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Fifthly, it is a spiritual remembrance. This gathering to partake of the Lord's Supper is more than a ceremony. We are to come to it with spiritual affection. The spirit of the believer must be exercised. The heart must go out to the Lord. This means a sense of reverence and of godly fear. We are to examine ourselves and so partake worthily. That is, we are to have regard to the true worth of the feast. We are not to come here complacently or light-heartedly or with outlandish clothes, but with deep searchings of heart and great appreciation for the wondrous Lord and Savior who is present in the midst. May God help us so to come. May God help us. Shall we listen to the words of James Montgomery, according to thy gracious word, in deep humility. This will I do, my dying Lord. I will remember thee. Thy body given for my sake, my bread from heaven shall be. Thy blood my peace, this cup I take, and thus remember thee. Gethsemane can I forget, or there thy sorrow see, thine agony and bloody sweat, and not remember thee? When to the cross I turn mine eyes, and rest on Calvary, O Lamb of God's blessed sacrifice, I must remember thee. Remember thee, and all thy pain, and all thy love to me. Yea, while a breath, a pulse remains, I will remember thee. Amen.